Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Dan Held, Public Works Manager for Carlinville. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and today our topic of conversation is going to be Carlinville's new water policy ordinance. Now, this is not in place or anything yet, and updating ordinances and things like that are just a matter of business, I guess you can say, for any public entity. But thought we'd ask you today, why is a new water policy being looked at, or what was the need?
What drove this to the point where it is now is last winter we had a lot of cold weather that came through town. Okay, we had a number of people that had broken water lines that came into the office. In fact, we had some folks who broke a water line. Maybe they were out of town that night. The water line broke. It ran into the drain in their basement, and the line just ran open for several days. And, you know, perhaps, you know, 75,000 gallons of water passed through their meter. So they got an extremely high bill when they got their bill when the next billing cycle came out. So they came in and asked for adjustments. Under the current policy, the city has, Woodard and Kern can only do so much with that stuff because we just follow the ordinances and the rules that are outlined by the city. Okay. So we started looking at all those different scenarios that we have. We had last year, we had some folks that had a water line break in their basement. It filled their basement and water was coming out the basement windows when they came by and found out, you know, that the water line had broke. We had folks that left town for, you know, maybe a week. We found out about the cold weather coming through a couple days before. They were gone. The water line broke. They didn't get back until 3 or 4 days later. All those kinds of scenarios drove those water bills way high. And in some instances, we have folks that, you know, if they're a single parent out there, one income, you know, that kind of thing, would have a hard time making that water payment. And we had no way to, you know, help them out with that regard either. We also had folks that said, well, you know, the water line was broke out in the yard. So it didn't pass through the basement drain. So, you know, why should I have to pay sewer on that when I know the water didn't go into the sewer? You know, so that's what sort of drove those, you know, this discussion and got it to the point now where the city's looking at all these different scenarios and looking at some of the fees and what drives our costs. So overall, the overall hope here or goal is that will allow for a more simplified operational process and lower administrative costs at the same time.
When you say fees, is the new water policy going to also cover things like, you know, there's things like deposits and stuff? Is that being looked at, or is this just in the case of emergency stuff like water breaks?
We're trying to take a look at the whole policy. So, you know, for example, there's four standard fees that the city was looking at increasing, basically because it had been a long time since those fees had been increased, and they know their costs aren't covered by those fees. So if you have to go out and shut somebody's water off because they're doing work inside the house on the plumbing, okay, and then they have to call us back out there to turn it back on, you know, you have to pay a person for that. And you have to pay insurance on that person. You have a vehicle that has to go over there, insurance on the vehicle, the time that they're out there, you know, those kinds of things. So those fees were looked at as a way to offset the operational costs, because we know that since they haven't been updated in a while, that the city's not keeping pace with what those costs are.
Is there a definite amount of, as you say, items that will be addressed, like going out for shutoff, deposit? What are they?
Right. So as of right now, I'm going to say there are four basic, okay? And let me preface all this whole discussion with this. These are things that are being considered by the city. None of these are dyed in the wool yet or anything like that. That's why they have the ordinance reads and second reads and all that. Okay, so these are only tentative and under consideration, okay? But one of them is the reconnection fee. It would go from like $25 to $50. A normal reconnection fee, not during normal work hours where we had a call out or something like that, that would go from $50 to $75. When you come in and make application for water, your deposit would go from $150, which it is now, to $200. And meter inspection fees would go from, say, $20 to $35. Something like that. So those are the main fee increases.
And then going back to what you discussed, what, the terrible winter and the breakage and things like that, what is going to be done there as far as if we have another bad winter? Is there something being addressed as far as...
Well, what we were trying to do was put a policy in place where if you're a, you know, if you're a single parent and your water bill is normally $35 a month and you have a broken line and you come in and it's $1,100 a month, okay, that we wanted to try and put together for consideration something that would implement a payment system so you could pay that balance over 3 months or 2 months or some time frame, opposed to having it all together at one time. One of the things that we're considering as part of this policy is that as it currently stands, your bill may be due, say, on the 17th, okay? And on the 18th, you accrue a penalty for not having paid by the 17th, okay? And as you get towards the end of the month, if we get to the point where we get into the next month and nothing's been paid on the bill, you'll get a shutoff notice and your water will be shut off because of non-payment, okay? So we had some issues with folks who would come in and after the penalty date and make a partial payment on their bill. So then there would be a balance that would carry over to the next month, and maybe that would happen again and again, and then pretty soon you're carrying a pretty decent balance across the spectrum, you know, over 6 months, that you're starting to get a pretty good balance out there on the account. So one of the things that's being considered here is that your bill would be due on the 15th or the Monday after that, if it falls on a weekend, and then you would incur a penalty, you know, after that date. At the end of the month, everybody whose bill isn't paid, then, you know, we would be discontinuing service to them until the bill's paid. Okay, so we're not going to have the carryover of so many invoices over a month. Okay, and so that was one of the reasons to consider the payment issue. Another one would be is if, you know, we had some cold weather and it came through and they were out of town and you had a rather large bill. I think a lot of folks were looking for the city to write those invoices off. Well, you know, when you've produced that water, you've treated it, you've sent it up in the tower, you've pumped it, you've chlorinated it, all that kind of stuff, to just go down the drain and say, well, we'll give you an adjustment. That's what's raising the cost of the overall water to everyone, because you're basically spreading that cost out amongst everyone in the city. So again, to try and look at administrative costs and reduce that number, okay, we're looking more at not so many adjustments and being able, you know, to let people break those payments up over time in order to make that in order to be able to pay for the water and not just, you know, credit that and take a loss on it.
Question I have, and I don't know if it's in this particular policy, is sometimes you hear questions about, well, the city is to here and my home piping is here. Are you addressing something like that too? I know sometimes questions come up of, well, the break was more on the city side. Is it going to be in there? What exactly is the area that's the homeowner versus the city?
It will not. Basic rule of thumb for a person who lives in Carlinville. Okay. So there are transmission mains that run down the streets, like Route 4 and, you know, High Street, you know, Buchanan, all these different streets. Okay. From that main, there's a hole drilled in the main. Okay. And there's a corp stop generally right there at the main. Then there's a line that runs over and generally to the property line. Okay. And at the property line, you'll either have a meter pit or you'll have a shutoff at that location. And if there's a shutoff at that location, usually the meter's inside the house, okay? If there's a meter pit there, obviously the meter's in there, okay? So the city's responsible from the property line out to the main and for the transmission mains that run down 4, Buchanan, all these different streets. Anything from the property line in, okay, belongs to the homeowner, okay? Now, there are situations, we've had several of these in town, where the meter's in the house. The leak is on the water line going to the house, so it's not passing through the meter. The water's just leaking into the ground, and the city, everyone is paying for that because that water's just leaking into the ground, not going through a meter. And, you know, say the homeowner says, well, you know, I know if I call a plumber out here and have him dig it up and everything, that's going to cost me $5,000 and I haven't got the money. But we have, you know, there have been cases where I've had to write people letters and stuff and tell them that, hey, you've either got to get that fixed or I'll have to shut your water off. Okay. Because there's a big emphasis now through the state of Illinois and through US EPA, you know, to monitor water loss in your system and not to just waste water, you know, those kinds of things. So to be good stewards for the city and, you know, try and keep the leakage down to a minimum. Okay. I know in like 2017, the water loss in the city here was about 30%. EPA would like to see that at like 10%. So we've been trying to address that, you know, as time goes by here.
As you said, everything we've discussed today, tentative, because a vote could come at a city council meeting December 3rd after first reading, right?
Right. And the wonderful thing about rules like this are is that we could put these in place. And after we get them put in place, if it's too much of a hardship or if it's, you know, adjustments need to be made, you know, they can always adjust them.
Go back and amend the ordinance.
Right. Ordinances are amended all the time. You know, that's why you have these readings and, you know, so people can say, hey, what about my situation? And the alderman can consider that and then, you know, make the changes as they see necessary.
Dan Held, thank you for explaining the new water policy to us.
Rick, it's always a pleasure to talk to WSMI and the folks out there.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.